Greetings and blessings to each of you this morning. Welcome to all of you. I'm glad to see each of you here today, that you've chosen to come and to worship with us today. Before I go on, just a little bit more about this evening. As Dale said, the Norm Miller family will be here presenting the program. They're going to do some singing as well as a family, and they're going to be using instruments, and they'll have their own system. So maybe for the young fellows and the ushers, we'll need the pulpit moved and things. So you can do that after church as well. It's been a good morning. I've enjoyed it. I've been encouraged and to be here. I don't know how you find yourself at times. I know where I find myself. Sometimes I get a little depressed. I get a little discouraged of the setting, if I'm just frank, of where we find ourselves at times. And I wonder about the future. But this morning, I've been encouraged by what I've heard you share, and the positive things that we have to around us, that we can avail ourselves to, and everything isn't negative. Everything isn't hopeless, but there is hope. And there is a future, as the Bible, and I think Tyler, in one of the verses that he shared, God told us that there is a future for us. He has a plan for us. And so we need not be discouraged. But so I just encourage you, if you find yourself there, don't give up. There's hope. As we pull together, as we stand together, as we worship together, and as it will draw us together to be a body that can be strong and can reach out. There's so many things to do, as Grant challenged us to do things around here for other people last Saturday. My wife and I were in Cincinnati. And so I had the day pretty much to myself. So I went a little bit south to a sporting goods store and for something to do, and walked around there and did some other things. And it was later in the afternoon. I went to McDonald's for lunch. And as I drove in, I saw this young man standing outside the door at the garbage can. And he was going through the garbage, getting out bags that had some scrap food and so on in it and setting them down. Then as he saw me looking, he sort of backed away and just sort of acted like he wasn't there, but he was. And so as I walked in, I said, "Are you hungry?" And he said, "Yeah, he'd like a cheeseburger and a drink." So I said, "Come on in." And so he went on his story of his situation. He was homeless, living in a tent. He needed ID so he could get into the homeless center. They wouldn't accept him without an ID. He didn't have money to go get the ID, and he was in a predicament. He had something wrong with his feet, and he only had one pair of socks, and so as he washed them out, they weren't all dry, and so it actually was causing his feet problems. Excuse me. Anyway, as we went on, my mind was rolling. I had just come from that store. I had bought a new pair of shoes. My old ones were out there, not totally wore out, but they were well wore, and they were going into the scrap. In fact, I had thought about throwing them away before I got there. But so I thought, okay, I can give him my shoes, and I can give him a clean pair of socks. I have those with me. And so I did that. And he seemed grateful. Then he had someone coming to pick him up and to take him somewhere else. Anyway, I'm not sure why I said that. I wasn't going to share that. But again, it was just one of those, no glory to me. It was just the opportunity was there. And I couldn't imagine. And he didn't act that hungry. He just wanted a cheeseburger and a drink. No, actually, it wasn't a drink. It was a smoothie. No. What is it McDonald's has? Oreo. Yeah, McFlurry. That's what it was. And he was fine. So, but anyway, I looked at some of the food that was open that he had dug out of the garbage can, and it, when somebody purchased it, I'm sure it would have looked attractive. But when I looked at it, it almost took my appetite. And he was probably going to eat it sometime. I don't know. But so I thought about, wow, I've never been there. I've never had to go to the garbage can and dig out something to eat. His story was so much different than mine. He had been adopted, and he made some choices, obviously, that probably, and he recognized that probably were some of his undoing. But at the meantime, he found himself at 23 years old, something like that, in a predicament, and living like a homeless person, as he was. And so, as I thought of that, how thankful I could be that I had parents that provided and taught, and how important that is, and that were an example to me that I didn't have to end up like he did. So today I'd like to talk about being a good example. And you can turn to Titus 2 as we go through this. Here Paul is writing to Titus, a young minister, a young fellow that obviously is was somewhat mature as a Christian. He was from a Greek, I understand. And he was to be a leader in helping, encouraging the churches, the Christians, and teaching them. And here Paul's giving him a lot of instructions of how to do that. And so he names different classes of people. And so everyone here is named, from old to young. And he gives some admonition as to what Titus is to teach them and to help them to be a good example for those that are around them. So I'm going to read the whole chapter, chapter 2 of Titus. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith and charity, in patience. That aged women, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. As I think of an example, all of us are an example to someone. And we all look to someone as an example to follow as well. Maybe you don't consciously think about that, but we do. We influence each other in our lives, and others, wherever we are, influences one way or the other. Webster says, for example, is a model, a pattern, is set an example, to behave so as to be a model for others. And so we know that Jesus, of course, is the ultimate example that we need to follow. And yet Paul, in many, many places, I found that he talks about, he tells the churches to follow him as he follows Christ. One of them is in 2 Timothy 1:13. He says, hold fast the form of sound words. Actually, he's writing to Timothy here. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Again, pointing him to Christ. And then in the next verse, the next verse I want to read is 1 Corinthians 11:1. It says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. I thought of that. Can I say that? Can you say that? Can you tell someone, well, follow me as I follow Christ? I think we can do that. We should be able to do that. Can I tell people, follow me, do what I do, and you'll be okay? Is that safe? No, probably not. Somewhere along the way, you're going to get tripped up. You're going to see something in me that's going to say, oh, that's not quite right. You messed up. You did this. You shouldn't have done that. It's not quite right. And so, as an example, but still, as we go through life, we are an example to other people in everything we do. Everyone has someone following them. We all look up to or have at some point in our life desired to be like someone else. Why? Why would we do that? Is it because of their looks or because of their actions that we would choose to follow? So there are people in my life that I have looked up to and still do as an example. No, not the place of Jesus, not the place of the Word, but it's as people live their lives in a godly way, they leave a godly example that is safe to follow in most things, at least. As I said, don't hold someone up to the point where you think they wouldn't fail, or to the point where they do fail, they disappoint you. Just expect that. We're human. They will disappoint you, but follow their good things that they teach, the life that they live, and the way they walk, the things they do, where they go, the things they say. All that is an influence. And it doesn't matter if you're a young person, 8, 6, 5, or if you're 80 or 70 or 60 or 50 or in between. There is someone that is following you. They're looking at you. They're saying, oh, yeah, I'd like to be like that. Or I will do this because he did that or she did that. And it's right. And so as you go through this, you might think, well, Paul's saying our salvation comes from works. We're doing all these good things, but that's not what he's teaching at all. Paul's writing to Titus is not promoting salvation earned by good works, but rather salvation producing good works. And he goes along with what James would tell us as well. Adam Clark says, a people must not only be well instructed, but they must be holy in their lives. Principle and practice must go hand in hand. And as we, I'm just going to skip through these verses quickly and some of them and the different classes of people that he mentions. And it is so important that the principles that we live, the principles we teach, the principles we talk about, that our lives line up with that and our practice in life coincides with that. There's nothing more... Well, I'll get to that later. Verse 2, he talks about the aged men. I guess I would rather say old men. It sounds a little bit better. I don't know, Jonas, you feel aged. You might feel aged, but anyway, I don't know how old aged is. It's old, at least I know that. But older men, we'll say that. And so he gives us some instructions. He said, be sober, be grave, be temperate, be sound in faith and charity and in patience. And I should have copied down what the NIV, how it explained that. It talks about integrity, I believe, as one word at least. And so be a person that is solid. Know what you believe and then stand on that and walk that way. You don't have to be dogmatic about everything, but stand on and live what you believe. Know what you believe. There's nothing more disappointing to me than to see older people that have lived the Christian life, and in their older days, they wander away. And I wonder, what happened? Why? What causes that? Why do they do that? Anyway, let's go on to verse 3. It talks about the older women. Likewise, that they be in a behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers or not slanders, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. And I wondered, why did they put in there not much wine? Why is this thing about women and wine? But understand, in their culture, in the Greeks and the Roman, the older women were given to much wine. And it was part of their custom. And so Paul is telling Titus to warn them to be, I don't really read that he says to totally abstain, but he does say to use, be careful how much, be sober. And so I know that in our circles, in our time, that is sort of a big thing, or it's something that's drifting into our Mennonite culture is drinking wine and maybe more than that. I don't know. But anyway, the Bible does say use a little wine for your stomach's sake. I believe there is a place where some of that can be good to help in an illness and so on. I'm not suggesting that you do that, but I think it would be permissible. But at the same time, we need to be real careful. We need to be, verse 6, it talks about the young man, and that's one of the things there. It says, be in self-control. Have self-control of your life. And I think many of the things that get us into trouble are simply because we don't know how to control them. And to keep them in control rather than allow them to control us. I'm not condoning that you go and order wine with your meal or otherwise. Don't come tell someone that the preacher said you could do that. I'm not saying that at all. I would think it would be best if you didn't. But anyway, we'll leave that. It also talks about, in verse 4, it talks about the young women. And I would commend you young ladies for